They might just be FBs, but there's too many of them. On top of that, two UMBs open their gigantic parasols around her to prevent her from escaping. But Minori doesn't run. Maybe she realizes running would be futile, and she's resolved to fight until the bitter end. Or maybe she's just paralyzed with fear. No, there's only one thing on her mind. Nothing else matters. The fact she's grown weaker. The fact she's still under the influence of the sedatives. Strategy tactics. All of these things are relevant to her, but none of them are on her mind. The only thing she knows is that she has to save the two girls she holds dearest to her heart. She already knows the one and only way to gain power in this terrible world that's ruled by a corrupt military and disgusting aliens. As long as she discards all that useless wisdom, her faith in this world, and her dignity, she can grasp that power. At this point, all those things are gone. She wants to save Nana Kisaragi and Iyusha Petrovna. Nothing else. The CC's ultimate failure comes from their rational decision. They correctly deem Minori to be the slowest member of the trio, the one that holds the group back. But even so, if they were to defeat any one of them, they should have been sure to defeat Minori Iizuka first. The CC organ reacts to Minori's will, pulsating explosively as if imitating her howl. Sensual pleasure shoots through her nerves like an electric current. Every erogenous zone in her body flares up with heat at the same time. Sensing this, the special enhancement gear starts operating at full throttle, ruthlessly teasing Minori's body. Just a few minutes ago, the memory of her being raped and humiliated to the point of admitting aloud that she was a sex doll would have crushed her with paralyzing fear and self-loathing. But this time, Minori doesn't hesitate to open that door. No, she doesn't even realize that she's opened it. Her eyes moisten, her mouth hangs half open, and sweet hot breaths escape her lips. Her aroused body twitches, dripping with sweat, and her clit and nipples are painfully erect. Nectar drips from her slit and juices seep from her anus. Her thighs, wet with fluid, twitch uncontrollably. Minori feels like she's on the verge of drowning in lust, yet she barely manages to stay conscious. The chalice of her carnal desires is far larger than Minori ever imagined. As her body writhes seductively, a shining white force field surges forth, expanding all around her. It hits the 20 FBs approaching her, instantly tearing them to shreds. But the force field doesn't stop expanding even then. Even as it shreds its directly destructive force, it still echoes through the space around her. It detects everything in its path like the waves from a radar dish. It reverberates through the vastness of space all the way beyond even Ayusha's detection range until it reaches the leader of the enemy force. There, far beyond the swarming CC is Apiris, a single unit, no, a lone specimen. Minori can sense it sending a faint signal to the CC forces. Minori reaches out. The massive, white, shining force field wavers as it transforms, assuming the shape of first a gigantic hand, then an arm. It reaches into the mass of CC units. Wow. Holy crap. It grasps. The great, glowing hand grabs the UMBs surrounding Nana, effortlessly tearing them apart. As the remains are scattered like white flower petals, Nana's body comes back into view. Nana has the best defense of all the special warfare troopers, and so, despite her special warfare gear having melted away, her special enhancement gear is still attached to her body. I'm safe. Where did all the dicks go? Minori? Nana manages to manifest her special warfare gear again, albeit weakly. As she does, something shoots past her flank, a blindingly bright and brilliant arm. It swiftly approaches a clump of phallus shapes surrounding Iyusha, sweeping its extended hand in an arc. The swarm of FB evaporates as they're blown away, revealing Iyusha's naked form. Since she was the first to be caught, and has nearly no defenses, her special enhancement gear is already stripped away, leaving her completely naked. Her moist skin is covered in bruises, perhaps from her attempts to resist the CC's assault. Although their bodies have been swept away, their severed members are still thrust into her mouth, vagina, and anus. Their shining fingers tenderly pluck away the remains of the FBs. Ayusha's orifices remain gaping open, but there's no bleeding. They hadn't yet torn her uterus out. A look at her tear-streaked face makes it clear that while she's unconscious, she's still alive. Ayusha, hang on! Stay with us! Once she confirms it, Nana's raced over to Ayusha and enveloped her in the force field. Minori flies off. The light shrinks to half its size, becoming a flash that streaks through space. It swiftly catches up to Pyrrhus as it attempts to escape. The Pyrrhus changes its course, zigzagging back and forth in an attempt to shake the light off of its tail, but its efforts are in vain. A white hand extends from the flash and twists the Pyrrhus' frilly body apart. Yes! At that very moment, a ray shoots from the CC's head like appendage, even as its body is crushed into a mushy, bluish fluid. The bluish flash of light isn't aimed at any of the three troopers. It extends into the void before disappearing. Minori bolts after it, and before long, her eyes take in the form of Paradise Lost, which stands closer to the cathedral than she has ever seen it before as it makes its approach for its August assault. In that one battle, and single-handedly at that, Minori Azuka completely destroyed 38 FBs, 5 UMBs, and 1 Pyrrhus, the last of which she even retrieved tissue samples from. Minori isn't aware of this, but the results of her patrol on July 24th exceed the every record set for personal enemy kills except for those from Lysette herself. Normally, when Minori steps into the airlock and her special warfare gear comes off, the combination of her exhaustion and the renewed pull of gravity leave her weak and feeble. But this time, her body is filled with lingering strength, leaving her steady on her feet. The attitudes of the bestial men filling the deployment port are slightly different from usual. When Minori returns, they eye Minori like she's some kind of monster. They're clearly scared of her. Only two of the men don't regard her with terror. Minori, you are amazing. You transformed right in the last minute. It was incredible. Ha! 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 Banker records Minori as she helps Ayusha into the deployment port, supporting her by the shoulder.
Heh. Look at you acting all high and mighty all of a sudden. Getting the wrong idea, are you, Minori?
Callahan is the only one to stand in her way. Just as always, the device for removing her special enhancement gear is in his hands.
Out of my way! I don't have a second to waste. Nana and Ayusha need medical attention. Then you stay here, Miss First Lieutenant. I don't care how many aliens you slaughter. When you're in my turf, you're nothing but a horny little slut.
This time, and indeed this time only, Minori's will doesn't yield to this man. The prior battle restored her sense of self that she nearly lost, returning her to the resolved woman she was a few months ago. Her body may have been a plaything for men, and her libido may still be heightened because of that, but even so, she can now say with confidence that she's a soldier. And as the two of them glare at each other,
"Oh, an inspection. I need to check on you as soon as possible. Now go on. What are you waiting for? You're wasting time here. An inspection. We need to check that giant of light, too."
The Indian doctor excitedly approaches them. Four citizens follow him, dragging two medical beds with them. The wheels of the bed screech as they skid over the deployment port's metallic floor.
Minori, you don't have to have that man inspect you. The doctor can do it too, and he does it faster and more easily.
Ayusha whispers weakly into Minori's ear.
Huh? Really?
When she lost the power to transform it and had to be carried into the medical lab, Minori was unconscious, so she didn't know about that.
I guess anyone can take off those pervy devices.
Could you help get 14-3 on the bed? Isn't she the commander's mistress? Either way, you understand who I mean. Names are just another means of identification anyway. Urged by his request, Minori and Nana help put Ayusha on one of the beds.
You two can walk, yes? Good, good. That means we brought one bed for nothing, then 14-2. You, the girl with the black hair, get on the bed.
Okay. Nevertheless, Nana lies down on the bed on her own. Well, she lies down onto the bed on her own. We get that. The doctor turns to look at Minori.
14-1, you can walk just fine, yes? Good, then come with me.
Actually, you're the one who needs the most thorough inspection out of everyone here.
I never thought I'd see the Giant of Light again. Ha ha ha, the Giant of Light!
Giant of Light? Does he mean the gigantic white hand she produced?
Hey, wait! Doctor, she stays behind! I studied to check her pussy and ass, them's the rules!
With that said, Callahan grabs Minori by the wrist.
Let go of me! You don't have to be the one who inspects me. Dr. Bakashi can do it too, right? Getting cheeky with me. Now come with me! Today I'll toy with you enough to make you open your legs on your own. I'll remind you who you really belong to.
The moment the hulking man pulls Minori closer to him, she rushes in even closer, crouching low beneath his body.
Whoa! Minori, who was always at the top of her class in the Officer's Army Academy, finally puts her martial arts training to use. She flips his large body through the air, slamming it down against the deployment port's floor. The men look at Minori in fear. They forget that many of the women they force into submission with the shackles of military regulations are, in fact, trained military officers that could easily fight back against any of them. You get it. Trained military officers, guys, that could fight back against any of them. In fact, the girls themselves forgot that. Only now does Minori's attack remind them.
Woohoo! Hey, this is hot! I love warrior ladies!
Done talking, Then let's get going. We need to get that inspection underway.
Shit! Not too shabby, you yellow monkey.
As the trio leaves with Dr. Prakashi, Callahan cackles where he remains sprawled out on the floor.
As he should be. You'll be mine before this is over, Minori.
His laughter echoes eerily as they leave. I don't know. Not the way I said it. Like, I don't know. Sounds like a drunk guy. August 3rd. It's currently the middle of the night, according to standard space time. Dr. Prakashi is in the lab, busily putting his data in order, when a visitor appears before him. His visitor bypassed the lab's multiple layers of security without tripping a single alarm, yet the doctor doesn't betray a single hint of surprise. Oh, now this is unusual. It's not often you come here. Did you come to make sure I can activate it at any time? Do you want some tea? I'll have to brew it in a beaker, but I guarantee you they're all clean. Dr. Prakashi brews some tea with the same strict diligence with which he conducts his scientific experiments. Two cups, one for himself and the other for his guest. The visitor seems to be engrossed with the way the tea leaves dance inside the beaker, gradually spreading a brown shade through the hot water. I think this is the last cup of Wedgwood I have. Well, you're the only person to drink this with me, so I suppose that's fine. The doctor pours the guest tea into a beautiful porcelain cup before pouring his own share into a plastic mug. The transparent, beautiful, amber-colored fluid fills both cups. The doctor and the guest take a sip together. How's your sense of taste? I see, you've finally lost it entirely. That must be quite distressing. You seem to be gradually losing your humanity. It's quite fascinating. All right, the new cadets have begun coming to me for their post-sortie inspections. I wonder why they're so adamant about doing that. They'll be fondled just the same. I never can understand the way women think. Not that I mind, of course. It lets me do all the inspections I want. The development of their erogenous zones is astounding. It's like they mature with every inspection I make. 14-1 is exceptionally impressive. She's relatively modest as far as her outward appearance goes, but her sexual organs are extremely developed on the inside. I'd even want to keep her for tissue specimens. The doctor speaks of her like she's some flower he's been painstakingly cultivating. Her mammary glands are quite impressive, but the real wonder is how well the CC organ has fused with her uterus. By the next dose, our clitoris should see a magnificent leap in its development. The guest cuts off his words.
Oh, you mean 14-1's giant of light? I assume you came here to check on how that's been progressing. It's going well. We should complete it before the end of the year.
And if it only needs to be activated for just a short amount of time, I can probably have that ready in less than a month.
Oh, we were talking about 14-1's giant of light, right?
It's reminiscent of Lizette, yet somehow different. Lizette was a very imaginative, innocent person to begin with. She had very little restraint and very few inhibitions, so she could generate any image she held in her mind by simply wanting it. It would take a lot of power to move the moon, so she thought of a giant. Could anyone else think of something so absurd and simplistic and materialize it on top of that? No, that would be like expecting a train to move without any rails. But 14-1 is different. It must be due to her different personality and her upbringing in a different environment. She's highly disciplined and inhibited, so she can't generate anything she wants by merely wanting it. Because of that, we can't expect her to become a giant of light on demand. Besides, the only thing she generated was the top half. It's likely that. No, ignore that. Discussing people's hearts is outside my jurisdiction. But I understand your concerns. 14-1 might be coming too difficult to manage.
I see, not just 14-1, but the entirety of Group 14. Those three do get along. When 14-1 nearly died, they waited outside the lab while still naked. They must have been quite concerned. Well, at this point, it's just a matter of whether it happens sooner or later. Not that they know that. I must say, it seems like you're very much hesitating to complain to me. I suppose you've got no one else to turn to but me, though. You ended up eating most everyone else, after all. True, if we could use her as raw material, she should make for a powerful part. In that regard, it's a waste to dispose of her, but it could get in the way of the merger, too. Personally, as far as being a part in the assembly, I think she's extremely promising. The visitor says something, causing the doctor to lower his mug from his lips back to his saucer. Bringing Group 14 back to Earth? Is that something that's being considered? I suppose that keeping problematic factors out of sight is one solution. But Kenway, I haven't heard that name for a long time. She was a very promising specimen, but at the time, the current system wasn't in place yet, so things ended up going down the way they did. Well, with regards to Group 14, I think you should do whatever you think is best with them. After all, 14-3 is by now a slave, or well, a mistress. And like you said, if 14-1 is the only one rebelling, then there's nothing to be worried about. But if she worries you that much, you can just crush her like you always do. Her augmentation should be finished soon. The application's already been signed, too. It should be fine this time, I think. I'm sure she'll be useful this time around. The animal experimentation has been successful. Though it's always successful. If all goes well, she won't be able to bear it and lose her ability to rebel. And if it fails, well, we'll just make her do a specimen. It might end up working too well, though. And then she'll be too much for us to control. Oh, I'm just joking, of course. She should be docile enough to maintain a normal daily routine. The doctor brings the cup to his lips. Not that the routine here is at all normal, though. I've been here for so long, I've already forgotten what a normal routine even is. He laughs pleasantly. Oh, having these three specimens less shouldn't get in the way of completing that. No need to worry. I do believe we can speed up its completion if we call in a few favors to get a large number of specimens. But either way, do as you see fit. Why not decide with a coin flip? It doesn't matter anyway. No? Well, you have always been very earnest. The visitor falls into contemplative. We'll try that again. The visitor falls into contemplative silence for a few seconds. Okay, this is the most important choice in the whole fucking game. This determines whether you get the true ending or the ending. We're going for the true end, so we're gonna pick, I don't know, I can't remember, hold on. But I didn't realize it would be so close. Like, this is the last freaking thing you do. Let's see if I can find it. It has been a while. That would be funny if I didn't have it here. Nope, there it is, right there. First one. Okay, okay. So there's two endings. There's a true end, and then there's the second end. Now, I'm gonna look at them both, but I'm going to leave the second end to you guys. Which means you need to go get the game. Seriously. That way you can see that. I've showed you almost everything but that one ending. And basically the difference is one of them, they stay in the cathedral, and the other one, they go to Earth. So it's up to you. We're going to keep them in the cathedral because that's the true end. We want to see how all this goes down, how it all works out. But if you want to see how it ends when they go to Earth, then check that out yourself, because I'm sure it's pretty fucking crazy. I see. Making it wasn't a complete waste then. Well, even if I can't use 14-1, I'll just have to use a different specimen. And if I'm going to use it, I prefer to use a promising candidate. So when will I get the approval to administer it? I've already got the application ready. As long as I get approval, I can get started as soon as possible. I look forward to seeing what it'll do. The doctor gulps down what little tea is left in his mug. As if relieved that the decision has finally been made, the guest takes a sip of tea as well. The tea's gone completely cold, but since the guest has no sense of taste, it's no different than drinking water. But even so, the guest whispers to the doctor,
It tastes good.
August 12th. The sight of 28 girls standing in the sortie port all clad in their special warfare gear is nothing short of breathtaking. After completing a two-day training mission together, they have returned to the port and are now waiting for it to fill up with air again. The girls are all elated. Although their bodies are heavy with the pleasant exhaustion that comes after a hard training mission, they can tell they've grown stronger. Usually, group training missions like this only take place once a month, but now that the month of August has come, they've been having these training missions 3 times a week. After all, the CC's large-scale attack looms ahead of them at the end of the month. Every year around August 25th, Paradise Lost's elliptical orbit around Purgatorio takes it to its closest position relative to the cathedral. During this window of opportunity, large numbers of CC deploy from Paradise Lost and attack the cathedral. Mankind has taken to calling this event the Great August Invasion. In the early stages of the cathedral's construction, there were only a few special warfare troopers who possessed inadequate sensor range. The attacks by the CC drove the cathedral to the brink of destruction. The cathedral's crisis in the year 2104 was especially brutal, with humanity driven to a corner fighting a battle for pure survival. A separate force of CC was allowed to break through by bypassing mankind's final line of defense. Several dozen CC were able to invade the pasta tube. Lysette had to pursue them by herself. Or Lisette, rather. She destroyed them one after another within the pasta tube, destroying the final three in quick succession right as they entered mankind's space sector. But over the last few years, the number of active special warfare troopers has risen and new countermeasures have been developed. Last year and the one before, there wasn't even a need to deploy all the troopers, with the reinforcements in reserve never seeing action. Regardless, all the troopers are now undergoing group training. The scenarios being exercised are rigorous. While the troopers are still being kept in their usual groups, the scenarios are meant to get them accustomed to coordinating with multiple groups in unison. For the past 2 days, they practice covering for each other, defensive formations, simultaneous attacks, and other assorted tactical maneuvers. They were monitored by the cathedral the entire time, only being allowed to return to base to rest and eat now that the stark changes have been detected in their physical and mental states. After 2 days of such difficult training, the girls have been greatly fatigued. Excuse me, they should have been greatly fatigued. Yet right now, they're positively brimming with contentment. As air fills the port, the buzzer sounds out, undoing their special warfare gear. Their costumes all disappear into thin air at once. In an instant, the 28 young women are reduced to near-complete undress, with only the special enhancement gear barely covering their chests and groins. Their bodies gleam with sweat from the prolonged training, blushing slightly from the satisfying fatigue of a good training session. The special enhancement gear has been stimulating their bodies this entire time as well, so their inner thighs are wet with love juice. The scent of womanly lust hangs around them. Most noticeable of all, however, is that the melancholy that filled their expressions last month is now mostly gone. One reason for that is that they are no longer being subjected to sexual abuse from the men during their examinations. When the month of August came and their group training missions began, an announcement was made that the inspection policies were being changed. Incidentally, the one who announced the change was Yusha, who has taken over Cersei's secretary duties. The girls were given the devices that removed the special enhancement gear. They now remove each other's devices and perform the numbness checks on each other, as it should have been! The reason given was that with a relatively low number of male officers, it would take them too long to remove the girls' devices and perform the inspections when they all return from a training mission together. Of course, any numbness or paralysis of their erogenous zones missed by a rush inspection could lead to a disastrous result on the battlefield, so this change made sure that the inspections would still be carried out in the necessary detail. Another likely reason for this change in policy was that there was no longer any risk of the girls reporting anything to the outside world. These changes meant that the power balance between the men and the women on the base has shifted, now that the men have less chances to gleefully subdue and humiliate the girls. It feels like the men have less control now. The sight of naked girls fingering each other's genitals or anuses or poking on each other's nipples is still obscene, but the atmosphere in the deployment port is certainly much less bleak now. It's all thanks to your mistress power, right, Yusha? Nana asks this while stuffing her cheeks with her favorite parfait. One of her favorite parfaits. She's got several. Yusha shrugs vaguely as she scoops the cherry on top of her chocolate parfait onto her spoon. I don't... I don't have that much authority. I just asked him. The aliens are going to launch their big invasion soon, so how about we raise the morale of the special warfare troopers? You really succeeded. Morale is much higher now. The special warfare troopers are all elated. They can feel themselves getting stronger with each day of passing. With each passing day of training. That's one major reason why they're much more motivated. But the fact that they were free from being repeatedly molested and raped by the men is another major reason. Their morale as soldiers could never be high while suffering under that. But the policy only changed for the group training. Why aren't they trying anything after patrols or while we're off duty? There are more girls in the common area these days. Right now, there are three other groups here besides Minori's chatting and eating sweets just like them. I think you get the credit for that, Minori. Me? But I didn't do anything! Minori doesn't have the faintest idea what a Yusha means. Minori's combat prowess has been restored. Now it's become impressively strong, but that's something only relevant to Minori herself. It's because you knocked that muscle man down to the floor. That's why. I only did that because I was worried about you. I wasn't even thinking. After knocking Callahan down, Minori was sure she'd be severely disciplined. But based on footage from multiple angles and some testimonies from the other personnel, it was clear that Callahan demanded that Minori offer her body to him, meaning Minori's actions were justifiable self-defense. Well, most of the girls from the Officers Academy know martial arts, so they could all fight back if they thought to do so. But for some reason, everyone was under the impression they couldn't resist. Minori nods. The thought of physically fighting back never crossed her mind before then. I mean, girls like you are soldiers to begin with, so you felt like you couldn't break the rules. We simply looked at you and figured that's just how things were. Everyone saw you do that. It made them understand that they're allowed to resist if someone's forcing themselves onto them, and that they can have, just have someone else inspect them instead. I mean, that Indian doctor is kind of freaky too, and his assistants all leer at us, but they're not that persistent. Even Minori noticed that. More and more special warfare troopers returning from their patrols are coming up with reasons to go to the lab to get inspected. We've been going to the lab for it ourselves, and we've been running into more girls recently. But not everyone does it that way, right? Well, the men have been acting a lot less stubborn. I know there have been four more girls who've thrown men to the floor when they tried to rape them. Wow. Upon seeing this, the men have naturally changed their attitudes about approaching the girls. Yeah, I'll bet. Thanks to that, the three of them can now enjoy parfaits again without having to fear anything. Minori is relieved. Have you noticed that the other girls have been treating you better, Minori? Oh yeah, definitely. I figured all the bad rumors died out after enough time, and I've been fighting well recently, too. Ever since that last big battle, Minori has yet to manifest that giant shining hand again, but she's definitely stronger than she was before she lost the will to fight back then. She's climbed back up to the top 5 despite that period of low performance from before. Not only that, but based on her kill count last month, it seems likely she'll catch up and even exceed Yusha's score.
Minori, anta ne, jibun ga dou omoareteru ka ni butonchaku sugi. Kekkou kansha sareteru no yo, anta. Mou, chotto shita eiyou.
Minori, you're too indifferent to how everyone else looks at you. Everyone's really grateful to you, you know? They even look at you like a hero. Huh? Minori can't believe it. Sure, she can fight again, but everyone still saw her at her lowest back then. They even called her the worst of the worst, a slut who flattered the men for preferential treatment. That was really impressive, you know. You were really cool. If I didn't have Satoru, I'd have totally fallen for you. Cut it out. That's not true. I just wanted to keep up with the two of you. That's all. Minori bashfully hangs her head. She's only eaten a third of her parfait, and now she starts aimlessly stirring it around, ruining its shape. Well, who knows how long it'll last, though. I think they'll at least try to keep this up until the Great August Invasion passes. It'll be fine. If those muscle men come at us again, Minori would just go, yeah, and throw them to the floor for us. Damn, it's anime world, folks, for sure. Minori blushes, but in her heart, she once again swears to herself that she'll fight as hard as she can to protect these two. I'll admit I didn't expect you to make a comeback like this. I was just lucky. Minori doesn't trust this woman anymore. The horrible gangbang session made her submit in both heart and body, and meant that she was a sex doll and lose her powers as a special warfare trooper. After reflecting on how it all happened, Minori realized that it was all because she read the file Cersei gave her, and saw that she knew a man who was coming here, causing her to cling to false hope. On top of that, although her memories from back then are hazy, she feels like she remembers Cersei telling her something terrible before Minori's raped naked body was put on display in front of all the other girls. Minori can't shake the feeling that Cersei did so intentionally in order to lure her into a trap, all so she could be raped and shamed. Maybe she approached other girls in the past, pretending to be kind and sympathetic so she could lure them to their downfall as well. Even so, Minori can't bring herself to regard Cersei entirely as an enemy. Cersei was a hero who saved the world, yet now she has to sell herself to the men to remain here. Minori can't help but feel bad for her. Minori simply answers Cersei's questions with repetitive, harmless, and inoffensive responses. It finally feels like the meeting is reaching its end. But I'm glad they didn't need to execute that order. I guess they revoked it. What order? Oh! Didn't your friend tell you? There was an order to have you go through a strengthening experiment. A strengthening experiment? Minori doesn't like the sound of that. What kind of experiment? Cersei looks at her like she's surprised she doesn't know. I think it was a month ago? Well, I suppose that back then, Second Lieutenant Yusha Petrovna wasn't handling all the secretary work. The documents I was handling included an application to use you as a subject for a strengthening experiment. The commander approved it. It was probably meant to improve her combat prowess. That meant, in the cathedral's terms, it was some kind of sexual experiment. I can only say this because it's a thing of the past at this point, but back then you were hardly of any use in battle. We were even considering taking you off duty since your presence wasn't much of a contribution. In other words, it didn't matter that the experiment might render her incapable of fighting. That only reinforced Minori's suspicions about just what kind of experiment it was. Right now, you're an essential part of our forces, so we can't afford to lose you. That's probably why the commander revoked that decision. Minori can't trust Cersei, but she can always ask Yusha to check the authenticity of this claim. But it'd be terrible if your friend overlooked anything when she took over for me. You should make sure the commander really revoked that order. First Lieutenant Minori Iizuka, you are to report to the lab effective immediately. 5 male officers stand in front of Minori's room, blocking her from entering. All of them have nasty smiles on their faces. The same men who helped humiliate Minori during her first day on the base are standing to the left and right of Callahan. The other two men present are among the men who regularly raped girls in the deployment port. Their burly bodies stand in her way like a solid wall. Minori eyes Callahan resolutely, refusing to be called. I have no business there. Yes, maybe you don't have business with the lab, but the lab has business with you. They told me to call for you. Callahan motions to the two men behind him. They produce a sheet of official-looking stationery, holding it out to her. This is an application for experiment number 10095. First Lieutenant Minori Iizuka is designated as a test subject of the Special Warfare Trooper Functional Reinforcement Experiment. Signed by the commander on July 10th, 2109. A formal order? A formal order, just how you stiff officers, academy alumni like it. Having an order actually printed out on paper is a luxury nowadays, you know? You should feel honored. See, it was even signed by the commander himself. Now come with us. This must be what Cersei was talking about. It wasn't a lie then. July 10th was back when she was still weakened. Based on what Cersei said, it was a dangerous experiment that could even cripple her. Haha, you should be happy. You're already such a big, strong, magical girl, and now you'll be even stronger. If this really is an official order, refusing it could result in her being disciplined for insubordination. But obeying a dangerous order that ought to have been revoked means she'll be putting herself at risk of being crippled. At worst, she could be reduced to a state where she won't be able to protect Nana and Yusha. She needs to find a way to get out of here. Contact Yusha and remain in hiding until the order is revoked. If the men take her to the central spire where the lab is, she'll be trapped with nowhere to run. If she's gonna make her escape, it has to be now. If it's really an order, I'll have to comply. Take me there. Minori speaks firmly. Callahan jerks his chin, causing the last two officers to move behind her. In this way, the 5 men form a pentagon around her. Trying to make her escape here isn't a good idea, though. The corridor is a straight line, and she's blocked from all sides. That won't change once they get to the hub. Her only option is to find an opportunity to escape somewhere on the way there and hide in the abandoned block. A long time ago, she used to go there after every mission, so she has its layout memorized. As they walk, the men waste no time in reaching their hands out to her. They fondle her breasts, flip her skirt, touch her butt in privates. Stop it! Although Minori never once stops protesting, she otherwise tolerates their unpleasant touching. No, she'd be better off if it were merely unpleasant, but beneath her disgust, a different sort of itchy sensation is beginning to grow inside her. She's becoming aroused. If she resists here, that will let them claim that she was disobeying orders, justifying any use of force. Under that excuse, they'll drag her off and gangbang her. As Minori struggles to put up with the men's antics, they become more and more daring. They aren't merely touching her breasts now, they're outright fondling her. They trace her slit over her panties with their fingers and caress her butthole. Her body, which had been while they're walking? How in the hell is all this going down? Like, I can see they're doing that, like, while she's standing there, but they're supposed to be walking to an area. So, they're doing this shit while they're moving? Man, that's... I don't know how you do that. You gotta be really fucking talented. Her body, which had been conditioned to be sensitive, reacts even to undesired stimulation. Her CC organ twitches, her crotch throbs, and her nipples grow erect under her bra. She tries to suppress it, but just as she begins to wonder how long she can keep it up, her patience pays off. In fact, them touching her is something she can exploit. Half a step before the hallway that leads to the abandoned block, Minori grabs the hand groping her nether, steps forward, and drops her body low. The white officer yelps in surprise as his body flies through the air and slams into Callahan's back. Their large bodies both tumble to the floor. As one of the men loudly spits out a curse, Minori uses the momentum of her throw to roll forward. She then turns around, sweeping the legs of the man behind her out from under him. Another man lunges at her, but he only ends up jumping over and falling to the floor as well. He lands right on top of Callahan as he attempts to stagger to his feet. The last remaining man rushes her with a shout, but Minori, already back on her feet, sinks her knee into his crotch. The man lets out a pathetic moan and keels over, clutching his privates. She considers running back to her room in a residential block, but just then she hears the sound of the other footsteps coming closer in a hurry. Apparently, there are other male officers coming to investigate. She could beat these five because she took them by surprise, but she won't be able to fight her way past multiple opponents when they're ready for her. She sticks to her initial plan and runs into the abandoned block. She soon hears more footsteps chasing her. The men recovered faster than she expected. Minori was hoping there would be loose construction materials or ducts she could hide in, as this area was abandoned halfway through its construction, but she has no such luck. The block may have been finished, but at the very least, most of the corridors and room walls were complete. Perhaps it was abandoned only because there weren't enough personnel for it to be required. Besides, even if there were a duct she could crawl into, Minori wouldn't have enough time to crawl into it with her pursuers hot on her heels. The corridor branches off a few times, but she knows that those turns only lead to dead ends. She has to find somewhere else to hide. The doors of these unused rooms are unlocked, but they're all too small. There will be nowhere for her to hide in them. Eventually, she finds what looks like a warehouse of sorts. It actually looks somewhat familiar. It doesn't take Minori long to realize why she recognizes it when she hears the sound of a man teasing a woman coming from within. The sound makes her remember that this is where she saw Deputy Commander Chan fuck Cersei. She gazes in the direction of the voices. One of the special warfare troopers is being fucked by three men from the front and back. Each time they thrust into her, her large breasts jiggle and sway. While the trooper's situation has improved ever since the commander's order and Minori's resistance, individual relationships between the women and the men haven't really changed. In fact, since the men can't lay their hands on most of the girls right now, they have to relieve their frustrations with a few girls that have already submitted to them. As they grab the woman by her hair, yanking her head around, Minori thinks she sees the woman's gaze land on her. Minori feels the urge to help her, but she suppresses it. She has to. At any other time, she would have rushed into the woman's aid. The naked men are occupied with tormenting the poor woman, so it would be easy for Minori to defeat all three of them. However, she doesn't have the opportunity to do so right now. Minori felt that her gaze met the other woman's, but apparently she's wrong. The woman says nothing. Perhaps she's being fucked so hard she can't see what's right in front of her. Minori only protests with a whisper inside her heart as she hides in the corner of a room where there's a curtain around some construction materials. It's not long until Callahan's group rushes into the room in pursuit of Minori. They shout at the men fornicating in the room, asking if Minori Azuka came through here. The men are annoyed at having their fun interrupted. They sullenly bark back that if there were another woman here, they'd be fucking her too. That cheeky Minori's cunt is probably much tighter than this loose slut after all. They poke the woman lying exhausted on the floor with their feet. They take the opportunity to vent their frustration at Callahan that ever since that yellow bitch knocked him down, the women have been getting uppity. What's more, that prostitute's been fucking the commander silly to convince him to do whatever she wants. This year's been terrible. Callahan clicks his tongue, accepting that there was no way Minori could sneak in here without the men noticing. He turns to leave. But just then, a quiet voice echoes in the room. Minori Azuka is over there. The voice stuns Minori. It's clearly filled with hatred. The one who spoke up was a woman who was getting raped. The woman repeats herself one more time. Minori Azuka is over there. Still lying on the floor, she raises her arm to point out where Minori is hiding. She's hiding in the stored materials over there. Callahan's group exchange glances. One of them leaves to the room to call for backup. Minori prepares herself. She's greatly outnumbered, and this time her opponents are aware of her. But she still plans on fighting, knowing that she has to take any chance she can get. But her time is running out. She needs to strike before there's too many of them. Keeping her movements silent, she sneaks away from where the woman indicated, moving between the materials to where she'll be ready to strike. Once she takes them out, she'll be able to bolt straight for the exit with no one left to block her way. With a final deep breath, she leaps from her cover, keeping her stance low. She trips the white officer standing near Callahan and sprints for the exit. But then something grabs her ankle, a smooth, feminine hand. Why is this woman tripping her? Taken by surprise, Minori is slow to react. That slight delay is fatal. While Minori is frozen in place, a powerful impact strikes her flank. Callahan kicked her, sending her body flying to the side. As Minori's body rolls across the floor, the man lunges at her. She barely makes it to her feet before a punch mercilessly rams into her stomach and knocks the air out of her lungs, causing her to freeze up and let the rest of the men surround and begin striking her as well. Just as she's about to topple to the floor, they yank her back upright by her hair. The sound of her straining, tearing hair fills her ears. Tearing hair, not tearing hair, fills her ears. Her grabbed hair is further ruined as they drag her away. When she finally wobbles to her feet, they pin her hands behind her back. Callahan steps in front of Minori, who glares at him defiantly. He parts his lips, his voice filled with venom. Ha ha ha, insubordination. And since you resisted, we had to do this to you. He pants heavily as he grabs Minori's collar with both hands and tears her top off. The fabric rips apart, sending buttons flying through the air. He strips Minori of her UEF uniform, a symbol of being a soldier, before pulling her undergarments off as well. Minori doesn't scream, though. She simply keeps staring at Callahan. Even in this situation, she resolves to remain proud and gallant. Yet now that her naked body is exposed to the artificial lights of the warehouse, it looks no different than that of the woman crawling on the floor. For 7 months, the men have been toying with her while the gear conditioned her body. Her tight muscles melted away into plump curves. She has become a woman trained to satisfy men. The other woman suddenly starts laughing and screams at her. Suits you right for how proud and pretentious you were. In the end, you're a slut just like me. A fucking slut with a horny pussy and a hungry asshole. Become like me, a pathetic sow like me. Everyone's gonna be fucking sows. After being stripped naked, Minori is surrounded by the 5 men and taken away. They tightly hold on to both her arms and cuff her ankles together. They stuff her torn panties into her mouth, preventing her from screaming. The brawny uniformed men drag the short, nude girl behind them. Between them, rather. Every bit of human dignity has been stripped away from her as she's been carried away like cattle. With each step, her shapely buttocks jiggle invitingly. Minori doesn't give up hope. Pouring every bit of her willpower to remain composed. These men love showing off defeated women to their comrades. Nana and Ayusha should understand what happened if they see Minori in this state. But since Minori has already escaped and been recaptured once already, the men are calm. Minori is led out of the residential block without any of her comrades seeing what has happened to her. Let me check the order with the commander one last time. He'll revoke the order now, I'm sure of it. Minori desperately begs the Indian doctor as he pours some tea from a beaker into a teacup. Oh no, we can't have that. Then I need to submit another application, and who knows if it'll even be accepted this time. I need to capitalize on any chance I get. He calmly sips his white tea while examining Minori's naked body. And while this is just my personal opinion as a scientist, I think that I'd be met with a great deal of opposition if I asked to use you for this experiment the way you are now. So no, I won't be checking a second time. No need to go looking for trouble, as they say. Callahan, who is still restraining Minori, mocks her. You heard him, Miss First Lieutenant, or should I call you Subject Number 10095? Please, check with the commander again! Now that he's finished enjoying his brief tea break, the doctor sighs and rises from his chair. Well, seeing as everything is ready, let's get started. What's that? Strange devices are lined up in front of Minori with 2 glinting metallic machines that each have 2 holes in them or place. Excuse me. While 2 glinting metallic machines that each have 2 holes in them are placed to either side of her. This procedure will be done on sensitive parts of your body, so we can't have you moving around. As I've already said, it's my duty to look after your physical condition. Let me explain in a way that even a pea brain... Excuse me, that's the wrong voice. Let me explain in a way that even a pea brain yellow like you will understand. We'll be sticking your arms and legs into these holes, so you'll keep those legs of yours open. In other words, she'll be spreading her limbs and assuming a position that exposes her privates. Once she does, this device will restrain her in that pose. Let go! Let go of me! Minori thrashes and struggles. but they have her limbs pinned so she can't utilize any of her martial arts training. Now that it's been 7 months since she last worked out properly, she has no chance of shaking them off with brute strength. But haven't they been prepping? I mean, that's what the text told me, that they've been doing all kinds of maneuvers and training the whole time, which they should have gained some muscularity. I mean, they should be at some level of strength. Callahan and four other assistants forced Minori into the restraining device. Oh, man. Okay, well, that's also where we're going to end it for now. Don't worry, we'll do some more of it this week. This is just the first part of it. But we're getting very close to the end of this game. And remember, there's a whole nother ending where they're on Earth, and it's probably not that much better. But as I was told, there is light at the end of this tunnel. So we'll see what happens as we continue to go through Dedenigas. And we'll see you next time on Grimm's Anti-Corner.